You're listening to First Point Japan's Spotlight Series, where we interview the people and analyze the things that matter for you to establish, build out, and accelerate your Japan business. Only at firstpointjapan.com, where Japanese business begins. And now, here's your host, James Santagata.
Today, we're pleased to welcome as our guest, Jun Kabikting. Jun is the Managing Director of HR Central KK, which is located in Tokyo, Japan, and is a talent acquisition, training, and HR consulting firm. He's also the founder and Chief Community Officer of the Japan HR Society at jhrs.org, as well as the Managing Editor of the HR Agenda, which is Japan's first and only Japan-focused bilingual HR magazine. If you aren't already a reader or subscriber, or if you find yourself even tangentially involved with Japan HR or HR issues, I can't recommend the HR Agenda and the JHRS Society enough. In addition, if that isn't enough, being the ambitious individual that he is, Jun's also an adjunct professor with Temple University's Japan campus, and he has more than 20 years experience across the entire HR value chain, with heavy focus on Japan. Jun's a passionate believer in advancing the HR agenda in Japan through both continuing HR education, knowledge sharing, and the use of HR best practices. And with that, Jun, thanks for your time, and we're very glad, very happy to have you join us today. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, James, and thanks for having me today in your program. And thanks for the very, very kind and warm introduction as well.
Great, our pleasure. Well, the reason we had you on today is continuing our series. One of the things that comes up, we've heard for years now, the war for talent and how important talent is to an organization. And this often, of course, revolves around the HR organization. And we wanted to kind of cover that topic a bit. I was very impressed with your background. I guess maybe two quick things to start with to help, share your background or educate our guests. How did you end up in Japan?
Wow, that's before going here to Japan, I was studying in the U.S. I was doing my master's in business administration, and my MBA is a Japan focus. So I needed to go here to Japan to complete my studies for and do my 3-month internship here. And then I interned with PricewaterhouseCoopers, the HR consulting side. And then just after my internship, they offered me a job, because at that time I was already involved in one of their biggest HR projects at that time. So I ended up staying. So, as we say in Japanese, it's tamatama or by accident, but it has been a great ride.
That's great.
Continuing.
Okay. Now, how did you get into HR specifically? Is that something that was just fortuitous or planned? Or
I got into HR right, right from the very start. I think I'm one of those HR professionals who went into HR by design, not by chance, because from the, when I was in college, I am an industrial engineering major, but before becoming a major of IE, my first course was actually electrical engineering. And then, as the course, progressed, I felt and I realized that I just don't want to be good in math, in computation and stuff, but I also would like to interact with people, and I like business a lot. So that's why I shifted to industrial engineering. And from the time that I graduated, I had always been in the HR side, specifically in the training and development side.
I see. Interesting. Now, that's also interesting, given the fact you have the U.S. side experience in Japan. We hear this a lot from a lot of Westerners in general, and even Americans specifically. Or even a question, is in your estimation, is Japan HR unique in any way, the organization, whether it's domestic or even a gaishke or foreign capitalized firms, HR mission or role?
Oh, yes. Definitely. I think in Japan, HR management in itself, you know, is a very unique system. You know, it has its pros or cons, you know, as well it has its positives and strengths, but it also has, you know, negatives and weaknesses that I feel that, you know, that Japan HR can learn, you know, from, you know, the rest of the world.
Mm. Great. And what are some of the things that may be the most unique, or say from a Gaishke or the foreign capitalized firm's perspective, when they're either first coming in Japan, or maybe if they're growing, or if they're hitting an issue, are there any particular differences that seem the most difficult for Western or American management to kind of grasp, or that come up time and again in this area?
Well, you know, I'm into talent acquisition as well, and you know, whenever we get, you know, a lot of search assignments, especially for HR, they would look for, you know, for an HR business partner type of HR professional, mm-hmm. which unfortunately is not, you know, it's not really in well developing here in Japan. So I think that's, you know, that's the basic difference of what, you know, Gaijin or Western type of HR is looking for. They're looking for more, you know, business focus, whereas, you know, the one that we can find in the market here is more on the transactional or administrative, or even, you know, police, you know, organizational police side of HR. But, you know, that is changing, and that is precisely why we established the Japan HR Society, in order to help advance, you know, the HR profession here in Japan from a transactional administrative role into a more business partner, or even as a business leader.
I see. So just to clarify this, so basically, in your view, if I'm paraphrasing this correctly, Japan's maturing in terms of HR capability, and it's moving from transactional into this value-add business partner.
That's the goal.
So
moving,
the JHRS is one of the catalysts or guides to make this happen. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, no, that's very interesting. Is there anything else that you see that may be unique or make, you know, Japan HR a bit different, or operationally so, compared to what we see in the West generally, or within North America or the U.S.?
Well, one thing's for sure, Japan still has this, you know, is still subscribed to their, you know, what we call the three pillars of the Japanese HR management, which is, you know, long time, lifetime employment, and seniority-based, you know, compensation, and as well as, you know, union or enterprise union type of organization. But, you know, we see that, you know, that is also slowly changing, you know. But one thing that is still very, very hard to change is, you know, is the way that you hire and fire people here. Yeah, I mean, here in Japan, as you may well know, it is very hard, you know, to fire, you know, a person, even, you know, for performance reasons. You really need, you know, to go through, you know, the whole nine yards in order to justify, you know, firing a person here. So, but, you know, Japan is globalizing, is being forced, you know, to adopt more progressive HR practices, you know, in order to compete, you know, in the global market.
I see. Okay. So that's a big thing. And I guess especially for the companies that have either fast growing, right, fast growth, or companies that are making rapid changes. We see this in technology where they may be pivoting. That could be an issue where the current workforce has a certain skill set, and suddenly they've changed direction and now they're needing something different. It may be difficult to realign or shed that workforce, given Japanese labor laws or other even social constraints, I guess, as well.
And that explains why now that here in Japan, 40% of the entire workforce are what we call freelancers or part-timers because companies just refuse or are very afraid to hire employees on a full-time basis precisely because they cannot fire them or release them, you know, when the business, you know, goes bad. And I think they're just making a good business decision. But the impact of that is that, you know, the number of part-time contractual workers in Japan is now at 40%, you know, of the entire workforce, which has some social implications, especially when it comes to long-term social insurance system, you know, taxes and stuff like that. You know, so
I see. Mm. Interesting. Great. Now, also, what do you see if you're, you know, if I'm an HR person, from the West, could be France, Germany, U.S., you know, what should I be thinking of or what would be, do you think, the biggest challenges I might run across, either if I'm first establishing my company here and staffing up and putting in my first HR person, or even if it's ongoing, right? Some of the bigger firms that are doing quite well, you know, Microsoft, Amazon, et cetera. What might I see or face?
Yeah.
Give me a headache at night. Keep me
Yeah. Well, you know, and this has always been our message to our startup clients as well. And we give them, you know, this one advice is to hire, you know, the right person, because if you don't hire the right person here in Japan, you will have, you know, those nightmares, you know, and your organization will not be a success here in Japan, you know. So, you know, HR, you know, for all intents and purposes, you know, recruiting, you know, has a very strong has a, you know, recruiting or, you know, hiring the right person has a very strong result, you know, impact to, you know, to a business result. So if there's one suggestion that we would suggest, it is to really hire, you know, the right person, you know, for, you know, for your organization here in Japan.
Okay, so I think two things just to maybe call this out. So one would be getting the right person to kind of set the right framework or process. But I think also going back to what you were saying about the difficulty in realigning workforce or shedding them, you know, basically laying them off, hiring the right person is critical so that you don't have to run into these potential legal costs or expensive buyout of that person later.
Exactly, right? Because if you hire the right person, you know, you will be less worried about, you know, this aftermath, because, you know, you are putting in place, you know, a person that is right for your organization, right for, you know, right for the business itself.
Okay. And this is not to pick on anyone, but I know especially within these fast growth startups and the tech companies, you know, Silicon Valley, Austin, New York, et cetera, whatever, the idea that, you know, oftentimes people are looking at hire quickly, fire quickly, you know, some of the VCs. Well, like, you know, Mark Suster talks about this a lot. And that may be fine in an area like that where it's expected, as well as where there's very high labor mobility. But I think in Japan, where we have laws that may make that difficult, a much more sticky, much more immobile labor market, plus there's career and social risks.
Yeah.
I think that may damage your brand in hiring people in the future. We've seen this, I think, during the last dot-com boom here when it crashed.
Yeah.
But also, as you're pointing out, it may bring in specific legal problems, or which ultimately translate to very expensive monetary ones.
Exactly.
Right? There could be people on the payroll that you don't want to have that you can't get rid of.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah. There are some statistics out there that the cost of replacing a bad hire is, you know, can be as high as 5 times, you know, the annual salary. So it's not only financially draining, but also emotionally and intellectually, you know, draining as well on the part of the organization and the team, or you know, their core employees as well. So
yeah, and I think we should call that out too. In my own estimation, too, you know, in some things where there's a very fluid labor market, I'm just using the U.S. as one, especially California. where there's a you can terminate people without cause, right? It's a there's no
employment at will concept.
Exactly. Yeah. That's right. It's at will employment. I think even in those cases, obviously extreme cases like Silicon Valley, people are much more open to these things compared to Southern California, though it's changed over the last 10, 15 years. But even so, there's still an emotional drain on the individual and the organization. And I think people may not recognize that or acknowledge it, but there is. And I think when you get into Japan, it's even more so that if you have people that are kept on the payroll, even if it's the cost of doing business, everybody feels bad about that.
And they feel
even worse when they're let go. So there's this emotional, as you were calling it, drain or psychological one that can also really zap a company as well by kind of having these mishires or having people that can't be retrained or redirected or redeployed as well, which may be right there as well. Okay. Mm-hmm. I guess given this then, and I noticed for the JHRS organization, I think you had the new tagline or motto or objective for this year, be relevant.
For HR.
What exactly does that mean, and what challenges or opportunities do you kind of see on the horizon for 2014 or a little bit beyond for both HR professionals or even the organization themselves? What do you see happening within the Japan market?
Well, for JHRS and our members, we really want HR to be seen as a relevant function or as a critical function within their organizations, right? But in order for that HR department to be relevant to their organization, the people staffing that department should become relevant, because they can do that, and we believe that they can do that, by two things. One is to self-develop themselves, through attending continuing HR education, and B, through HR certification. JHRS has a partnership agreement with the HRCI, the HR Certification Institute, which is the largest certifying body for the HR profession in the world, and we are collaborating with them to bring that certification into here in Japan. And we are starting to see the fruits of it. In fact, there are around 20 to 25 certified HR professionals already here in Japan. But obviously, in order for us to move that and create more momentum, we've got to have more people, and that's why we invite HR professionals here in Japan get certified, get noticed, and be relevant to themselves and to the organizations that they belong.
Okay, excellent. By the way, what advice would you give to an HR person? What are maybe one or two of the relevant skills that they, if they don't already possess, they should have to be more relevant? Is there anything in particular that might be advice for them to
move
from the transactional side, I guess?
Well, the first thing, is to learn how to be, business focused, they've got to really understand that HR exists for the business, and if HR is existing for the business, it should add value. As a as we always say, if HR cannot give value, it must give notice.
I see. Interesting. Great. Okay. I think actually, June, we're almost out of time. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we finish today?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me today. It's a great opportunity, to be part of your, of your expert master series, and I do hope that my inputs or my comments here can and may be of help to your listeners and your subscribers, and if I am to I just like to reemphasize our motto for, which is be relevant, be HR. And I'll see you in the next JHRS session.
Great. And what we'll do is we're going to put up all of your links, and profiles so people can get there. I'd also just quickly mention JHRS again. I know you had the kickoff Shinenkai just recently. Great event. There's a lot of, you know, prominent Disney, Amazon, you know, Morgan Stanley, a lot of great people there. And also, I think I've seen the magazine and your group. Lots of great information on these specific kind of nuts and bolts things, like dealing with termination, dealing with legal issues, a legal clinic, dealing with best practices. I saw recently an article you had on the poll of people that might come into HR for certain reasons versus what's expected. Yeah, so I think that's a lot of great knowledge, and I'm going to put the link up so that people can go through their browse, see what makes sense, and you know, kind of tap into your community as well. I think that's going to help a lot of companies that may be facing these issues. No reason to reinvent the wheel if there's a group of professionals that are addressing this, and that may be something they can tap into and plug into your system as well then. So
yes,
we'll definitely do that.
Thank you so much. And I would like to invite all of your readers and listeners as well to join us at www.jhrs.org or, you know, to our LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter pages as well.
Sounds great. Okay, thank you so much, June, and thanks for your time, and hopefully this has been very beneficial for people that are either in HR or having issues or would like to optimize their HR for the Japan market.
Thank you so much, James.
Thank you, June.
Having me and JHRS as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. This program has been a presentation of First Point Japan, where we interview the people and analyze the things that matter for you to establish, build out, and accelerate your Japan business. Only at firstpointjapan.com, where Japanese business begins.